Hi, I'm Daniel Lucas, and welcome to Law 101, where we break down complex legal concepts into clear conversations, exploring the rules, rights, and realities that shape our everyday lives. And today I have my special guest. Well, he is my always guest on Law 101. He's a veteran New York criminal defense attorney with the over 35 years of courtroom experience. As a former prosecutor turned defense lawyer, no other than Mr. Saul Benenfeld.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, Daniel? So good to see you again. It's always a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Good to see you, Mr. Saul. Yes, yet again, we talk about something good today, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about what happens when you get arrested.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You're under arrest. Now what?
Exactly.
Step-by-step breakdown.
All right. So
Mr. Saul, tell us.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you what happens next, what you should do, and what you absolutely should not do. So let's walk through it step by step. All right? We'll talk about the arrest.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. What does it mean when a police officer says you're under arrest? It means that you're no longer free to leave. That's the most important thing. And it's not a request. It's a legal seizure under the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution. At that moment, your best move is compliance, not conversation. You can't talk your way out of handcuffs. A lot of people have tried, and it's never worked. It's never worked. But you could easily talk yourself into a conviction. So be careful. Stay calm. Keep your hands visible. Don't resist physically. Don't resist verbally. Remember, even a minor scuffle can add a resisting arrest charge or an obstruction charge, and you don't want that. So a police officer comes, says you're under arrest. Understand you're not getting out of it. Just comply and say nothing. The only thing that you should ever say is, I want an attorney, and that's it. After the arrest,
Anything.
Yeah, don't say anything. You have the right to remain silent. Use the right. It's not just the saying on TV. Use it. Remain silent. Afterwards, we have something called the booking process. The booking process is an interesting process because once you're arrested, you're then taken to the precinct or the detention center, and you're going to go through something called booking. And what that is they take your fingerprints.
Booking. What is booking?
Exactly. That's where they take your fingerprints because they're going to send it off to the government to see if you have a history of a criminal record from the past, and they're going to know everything about you from your fingerprints. They're going to take your photograph, and they're going to take basic information, you know, where you live, who you work for, if you have any children maybe, and they're going to do a background check on you. They're going to find out if you've ever been arrested before. They're going to find out if you've ever been convicted before. Now, during that time, again, it's very important, do not discuss your case with anyone. So if the police officer is asking what's your name and what's your address, don't say, I didn't do it, or I didn't mean it, or I'm innocent. Just give them your name, your address, and your phone number. That's it. And if they put you in a cell with other people, again, don't discuss it with cellmates. People might say, hey, what are you in for? They could be cooperating with the government or with the police. You can't trust anyone in the cell. Don't tell them your story. Certainly don't tell police officers what happened. And remember that the jail phone is recorded. Every conversation on that jail phone is recorded. So if you're going to call a lawyer from that jail phone, make sure that they hear that you're speaking to a lawyer because that could be an attorney-client privilege conversation. But don't discuss the case. Just say, I've been arrested. Here's what I'm charged with. And here's my precinct. And here's the arresting officer's name or number. And maybe you could find out the phone number of the precinct so your attorney could call the precinct. All right. But every conversation on that jail phone is recorded. So if you're calling your wife or your kids or your friend, don't ever discuss the case on a jail phone. Don't say you didn't do it. Don't say you did do it because it's being recorded and it could be used against you.
So even you don't have knowledge, you can use that conversation, that record being recorded?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a sign on every jail phone, conversations are recorded. So you have you have imputed knowledge. Every jail I've ever been to where there's a phone, there's a sign that says that the conversations are being recorded.
Okay.
You know, that's the bottom line. Anyway, what happens next is interesting, because what happens next is your first appearance in front of a court. And okay. you get to see a judge. It's called the arraignment. Now, it's supposed to happen within 24 hours. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes a little longer, sometimes it's a lot longer. But hopefully it happens within 24 hours. And at that point, the judge and the prosecutor are going to tell you what you're charged with and give you an opportunity to enter a plea. Now, usually that plea is not guilty, right? Because we're at the first stage. So you hear the charges, you enter a plea of not guilty, and now comes what's going to be the most important feature for the person who was arrested, and that's the bail or release portion of the arraignment. That's where a judge is going to decide if you have to stay in jail because you can't get out for any reason, if you have to post bail, which could be money or property, and then you could get out, or if you're just going to get what's called released on your own recognizance, where the judge is going to trust you that you could leave and you'll come back to court on your own. Hopefully you have a private attorney and they'll argue for your release on recognizance bail, or they'll get a reasonable bail, something you could afford or something your family could put up, and you'll be out of jail. Now, if you can't afford a lawyer, a public defender is always assigned to you. That's by the U.S. Constitution, and they will represent you at that initial appearance. Even if you could afford an attorney, but you haven't found one yet, you'll get a public defender to do a bail application, and hopefully you'll get out. But it's really important, if you're going to hire a private attorney, I always tell people it's best to do it before the bail, because that's the first time that an attorney is going to hear what the notices are. If there's something called identification notice, that means that somebody picked you out of a lineup or a show up. And there's something called statement notice. That's something that if you said something to the police that might be incriminating, they're going to tell you, oh, we heard him say this, he said it to us, and you'll get the statement notice. And there might be other identification notices that you'll get. So it's very important, if you're going to go for a private attorney, to try to get them at the arraignment. But it's not crucial, because if the private attorney then comes in afterwards, the legal aid attorney, or the public defender, rather, is going to do the arraignment.
Interesting facts, Mr. Saul. And after the arraignment, what happens next?
Good question. So from here is where the attorney really gets to work, okay? He's going to review the complaint. He or she is going to review the police reports. And they're going to start requesting discovery, okay? Now, there are some states within 30 days you have to get all the discovery. Part of that discovery is going to be a body cam footage, because police officers now in New York at least wear body cams, and in a lot of other states they wear body cams. So you'll be able to see the video. You'll be able to hear everything that happened when they went to arrest your client. If there are other witness statements, you should get copies of them. If it's a case where there's laboratory results, if it's a drug case, you'll get the drug labs. If it's a gun case, you'll get the ballistic lab results. If it's a DNA test case, you'll get the DNA results. And the attorney now is evaluating whether your rights were violated or not during the arrest or during the questioning, if you gave over a statement, although I tell everyone don't give over statements. And we're going to see, as an attorney, we're going to see if your constitutional rights were violated. And then we're going to prepare motions. We're going to prepare motions to tell the judge that your rights were violated. If there's some evidence that has to be suppressed, if they went into your car and they took something out of your car without a warrant, that maybe that evidence needs to be suppressed. There'll also be motions for dismissal if we think that they don't have a prima facie case. And again, at this time, after seeing all the evidence and seeing the lab results and the witness statements and the body cam footage, it also might be a good time to start talking to the prosecutor to see if they're going to reduce the charges and perhaps allow somebody to plead guilty to a lesser charge. And this is also where the prosecutor decides how hard to push and whether to offer a plea bargain or not. And make no mistake, what you do in those first few days matters immensely. It's very important to get this right immediately, because sometimes there are no second chances.
Mr. Saul, are there common misconceptions about being arrested that people should be aware of?
Certainly. You know, a lot of arrests take place in the newspapers, I like to say, where, you know, it's like, okay, you know, we arrested this person, he's a famous person, and everyone thinks, okay, you're guilty. It's not true. There are a lot of people who are not guilty who get arrested. There are a lot of people whose constitutional rights were violated and get arrested. And there are a lot of arrests that should not have happened because the police jumped the gun too soon. So there are definitely misconceptions. I've represented so many people from every walk of life, whether they're executives, teachers, rabbis, ministers, college kids. No one ever plans to be arrested. But how you react determines whether that moment becomes a disaster or just a detour. Now, you have rights, you have options, and you deserve a defense that sees you as a person, not just as a case file. So, you know, there's definitely a human side to this.
Yes. So what rights should a person immediately remember when facing arrest?
You know, my top advice to anyone who was arrested is to say the following words: I want to speak to my lawyer. And then stop talking. Don't say anything afterwards. Once you say, I want to speak to my lawyer, they're not allowed to question you. The police can't question you anymore. Also, never, ever consent to a search of your phone, your car, or your home without a search warrant. If they have a search warrant, they're going to search it anyway. Might as well make it easier for them and let them in instead of breaking down the door. But if they ask, can I search your phone? Can I search your car? Would you mind if I look in your trunk? Would you mind if I look in your house? Would you mind if I look in your office? Can I look at your computer? The answer is no. You don't have a warrant. You can't search it. You're not being obnoxious. You're exercising your constitutional rights as a person in the United States of America. Those are our rights. Also, very important, don't ever try to explain or justify anything, even if you think it's just a misunderstanding. You know, I've had clients that were told, you know, we have information that you raped that girl. And right away they start talking, no, I took her to a bar and we had drinks and she came home and she was drunk and we had a good time. The problem is, he said, and we were drunk and had a good time. She couldn't consent if she was drunk. And he went ahead and convicted himself because he was trying to explain or justify the fact that he had sex with a drunk girl. That statement alone is going to destroy him in front of a jury. So don't ever try to explain anything or justify anything. You're being arrested, you get arrested. And the biggest advice I can give anyone is to call your lawyer. Call your lawyer. You know, the sooner the better. Time is your biggest asset. Call your lawyer as soon as you can. And when you finally do get out of jail, whether on bail or on recognizance, stay off social media. Don't post. Don't text. Don't comment on other people's posts. Don't go on TikTok, because prosecutors are looking at that. They're looking at all your online chatter. They're looking to see what you're writing about, what you're saying about the police officers, what you're saying about what you did. You're just giving them more fuel for the fire. Don't do that. Stay off social media. As hard as it might be for you, stay off social media.
Mr. Saul, are there mistakes people often make during booking that could hurt their case later?
Yeah, and the mistake is very simple. They try to explain away what they're accused of. So even if it's a simple theft, you know, a CFO, a chief financial officer, is being arrested for embezzling money. And he starts to talk and he says, well, no, I wasn't embezzling it. I was entitled to it because it was my bonus. You can't just decide what your bonus is and take it. You can't explain away something like that. The police have done their research. They've determined that you're guilty. Whether you are or aren't, now is not the time during booking to try to explain it to the police officer why you're not guilty. They don't really care. Their job is to put you in front of a judge and let a judge or a jury or both decide, not the police. They're not going to make the decision. And one thing I'll guarantee you is they're not going to let you just go, oh, you've explained to me, you could go home. Once you're in the precinct during booking, you're going to be going to see a judge no matter what you say.
How important is to remain calm and cooperative at this stage?
It's extremely important because people who are angry and upset and violent and messed up get extra charges put on them. And you don't need that. You don't need extra charges. You have a certain amount of charges against you. Don't make it worse. Don't add a resisting charge. Don't add an obstruction charge. You know, don't add a perjury charge by saying something to law enforcement that's a lie. Don't do that. Just stay calm. Follow the rules. You're not going to like the rules. That's why it's called an arrest. It's not called a day at the spa. Okay. And go ahead and get in front of a judge, get a good lawyer, and hopefully get out.
Yes. And Mr. So what exactly happens on an arrangement or arraignment? And why is it such a critical step?
It's the first time that the defense attorney is going to hear some of the evidence is at the arraignment. So you want somebody there who's going to be representing you and representing your interests, because you're going to hear a lot of things about this case that you didn't hear about from the police. They're going to give a little bit of a narrative to the judge about why they've arrested you. And it's important to listen very carefully. I always order the transcript of the arraignment, because sometimes the narrative of what the district attorney or the prosecutor says at the arraignment is totally different from how the case develops later on. And it's important to see that. So an arraignment is extremely important to listen to what they're saying, what the charges are. And of course, you have the bail at the arraignment. So it's very important to make a very good bail application to make sure that your client gets out of jail. And bail is determined on two things. The first thing is risk of flight. Is the person a risk of flight? And the way we go about that is, well, we determine, well, does he have community ties? Is there a reason why he's going to stay in this area? So if you were arrested in Oklahoma and live in New York City, you might be a risk of flight because you're going to go back home to New York and you might never come back to Oklahoma. And you might either have a very high bail or they'll just keep you in Oklahoma. That's a problem. And the other thing they look at is the dangerous person. If a person is a danger or a menace to society and they think that he's a danger, they're not going to let him out, or they're going to set extremely high bail to make sure he doesn't repeat whatever he's accused of. And these are two very important factors. And they also look at, if you've been arrested in the past, have you ever jumped bail? Have you ever failed to appear at another court appearance? Because if you fail to appear at another court appearance before, you might just do it again. And you're not going to get bail because of it.
So what are the biggest do's and don'ts when standing before the judge for the first time?
Well, the only do is to keep your mouth shut in front of a judge. Mm-hmm. Let your attorney do all the talking. Don't try to help the attorney in the middle of an arraignment. You should have spoken to the attorney beforehand at length about who you are, about your background, about why you should be released on bail, and about what you're accused of. But at the arraignment, anything you say can and will be used against you, and it's recorded by a court reporter, a stenographer. So don't say anything at the arraignment, all right? And make sure you have a good attorney. Make sure your attorney is well prepared and is at the arraignment for you.
Interesting, Mr. Soul. And what should someone expect emotionally and practically as their case begins to move forward?
Yeah, it takes a very big emotional toll on anyone getting arrested. You know, seeing those silver bracelets, as we like to call them, the handcuffs, and being marched, you know, against your will into a courtroom or into a police precinct or into a jail cell, it's a horrible feeling. That feeling will pass. So just keep that in mind, but stay calm. The feeling will pass. Don't let emotions cloud your judgment. Stay focused on the goal. The goal is to get an attorney, to get bail, and to get out. Take it one step at a time. Don't think about 20 years in the future, what's going to happen. Just think about what's happening right now. I need to get out of jail now. I need to get an attorney now, and I need to deal with this now. Once you're out and once you're in your attorney's office, you can strategize on how you're going to go forward from that point.
Mr. Soul, from your experience, what is the single most important piece of advice for anyone who has been arrested?
Get a lawyer. Most important piece of advice is get a lawyer fast. Don't speak to the police. Don't speak to anyone about your case. You know, the only people who have a privilege is your spouse and your lawyer. And your spouse, you could get their divorce and they won't have a privilege anymore. You know, it'd be a problem if your spouse starts talking about what you've told them. So I always tell people, don't tell anyone. You know, you could talk to a therapist, you could talk to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but you're better off just talking to your lawyer about this. You know, that's very key. And, you know, don't explain anything. Don't justify anything. Just listen to your lawyer. And the other thing is, like I said before, stay off social media. Don't post. Don't try to explain it away to your fans or whatever it is. Just let your lawyer do the talking.
You've represented people from many walks of life. What do all your clients have in common when facing this situation?
They need a friend. One most important thing is, besides a great criminal defense attorney, they need a friend. They need someone they could talk to. Whether it's crying to that person, I did something wrong, or saying, I didn't do anything wrong, and you need to get me out of this problem. They need somebody to talk to. And I always tell people, when hiring a criminal defense attorney, don't just look at how smart they are and how successful they are. Look to see that this is the person that you could tell your innermost secrets to, because you need that. You need someone to rely on. You need someone to talk to. You need somebody who could, you know, listen with a very caring and non-judgmental ear. And that's the key thing. I never judge my clients. You can tell me anything. I don't judge you. I understand. I just want to help. That's all I want to do.
So how can someone turn an arrest from potential disaster into just a detour in life?
By getting an attorney, by getting a good attorney, by having, sometimes if you're a famous person, having a good PR firm representing you to show that, you know, the arrest process was uncalled for. So you don't want, you know, it's a detour in life. It's not something that's going to be shameful for the rest of your life. And it's important that you have somebody who represents you to the fullest interest, you know, of your life. And that's what's going on.
Indeed. So before we wrap up our discussion for today, Mr. Saul, I'm inviting you to please listen to my other podcast, people, because my abstract essay is already in fifth season. Abstract poetry in second season, and my book 101 review in fifth season too. Comedy 101 in second season, and my food 101 in fifth season as well. Geography 101 in fourth season, and my baby podcast Law 101 and Mental Health 101. Love Letters in third season, and Movie 101 review, Music 101 in fourth season, and Science 101 and Sex 101 in its first season. Please listen to them wherever you listen your podcast. So, Mr. So, why is it so important for people to remember they are more than just a case file?
Because I treat people like humans, and I treat people like friends. You're not just a case file to me. You're an important person with a family, with a future. And I need to always keep that in mind. And that's why I like to help my clients, because they're not just a number. They're not a case file. They're a person. And that person has parents. And that person might have a spouse and might have children. But they're a person first. They're a client second.
Mr. Saul Benenfeld, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and wisdom to the world. So can you please invite our listeners to support your advocacy, your business, or whatever projects that you're doing right now?
Sure. I could be found at www.benenfeldlaw.com. You can find me on Instagram as well. And call the office, set up an appointment if you need to talk to me. I'll be happy to give you a free consultation.
Yes, people, let's support Mr. Saul Benenfeld, because if you support him, for sure, more and more empowering advocacy to come. So, Mr. Saul, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Daniel. Great to see you.
More to come, people. See you soon. What a great...